Chapter number 30. Heard him practicing that this morning. I said, praise God, I might just turn a few chapters over and preach on dining with the king. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 this morning. So glad that he'll let a pauper like us, paupers like us, dine at his table. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 30. For sake of context and just for background story, we're going to back up and we'll read verse number 1 starting there. If you're there with me, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says this morning, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag with and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. They made him drink water. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago and I fell sick. We made an invasion upon south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I'll bring thee down to this company. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken out of the land of the Philistines, and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even into the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for these thy people that have come today to hear your word. Lord, we pray you'd help us out. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Father, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross of Christ, and I'd say nothing does not need to be said, everything that does. Lord, when it's all said and done, we want to be sure we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that's due your holy name, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning back to verse number 13 just for a moment, if you'll look at it with me. The Bible says, David said unto him, and watch this little phrase, this question, to whom belongest thou? To whom belongest thou? For the next 3 or 4 hours, that's what I want to preach on this morning. Amen? To whom belongest thou? Well, just quickly, the background, we read most of it, but David and his men were heading home from being providentially spared from fighting against their own people, the people of Israel. As they head back, and as they get closer back to Ziklag, where they had set up camp and where they had made their abode, they find out that They get back to Ziklag, and the place has been burned with fire. Their wives had been taken captive. Their sons had been taken captive. Their daughters had been taken captives. And not only that, they had burned the place with fire. They had spoiled all the stuff and taken everything and taken all of them and all of their stuff captive. That's what David and his men came back to. So they begin, of course, to blame David. You know, it's always his fault. It's always the leader's fault. So they begin to blame David. In fact, the Bible says that his own people spake of stoning him. David was in a great betwixt. He was in a mess, and he begins to go to God. By the way, no better place you can go to God when you're in a mess. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yes, I'm glad we can go to him. He's in a mess, and so he goes to the Lord. He begins to inquire at the Lord. First, he encouraged himself in the Lord. When you can't, listen, let's just be honest. Sometimes there's nobody else to encourage us, amen? But he'll always encourage us. He goes to God and he begins to encourage himself in the Lord. And then he inquires at the Lord and he asks the Lord, shall I pursue after these people? Should I go and fight and take my stuff back? Or should I not? The Lord said, yes, pursue. So then David and his men, they get 600 men together and they begin to head out. They don't go very far. They come to the brook Besor, and 200 men have to stop there and stay behind because they're so faint from the travels and from all that had taken place. 400 men pursue on after these Amalekites. It's taken all the spoil. That's taken all their wives and all their family captives. These 400 men are going out and heading toward trying to find the Amalekites and where they've set up camp, so they can get back their stuff and their people. They run into a man, the Bible tells us here. Verse number 13. They run into this man, the Bible tells us, an Egyptian man. And they ask him this question, to whom belongest thou? You see, David understood a truth in even that day that's still true today. And that simply is this. That everybody is a servant to somebody. Everybody's serving someone and something. Everyone has a master. Notice he didn't ask him if he had a master, but he asked him who his master was. He says, whom belongest thou? Because everybody has a master. In other words, everybody has someone that they're yielding to, someone that they're obeying, that they're following, whether they realize it or not. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 16, the Bible says this, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Other words this morning, every one of us, we're a servant to one of two things. Either we're a servant to sin unto death, or we're a servant to obedience unto righteousness. Therefore, everyone's a servant of one of two masters. Either, if you're a servant of sin unto death, you're a servant of Satan. He's the master of sin. And if you're a servant of obedience unto righteousness, you're a servant of God. But understand this morning, everyone is serving someone. You say, but preacher, I'm my own man and I'm not serving anybody. Listen, God said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either serving him or you're not. And if you're not serving God, then you're against God. And if you're not serving God, the only other option is you're serving the devil. David knew you could learn a lot about a person by simply finding out who their master is. You understand that? So he asked him, he begins to ask this man, whom belongest thou? He knew that you could find out a lot when you find out who a person's master is, because whoever your master is plays a big factor in who. He just sees this man out in the field. He's trying to figure out who he is. And he knew that when you find out who somebody's master is, you find a whole lot, find out a whole lot about what they're about and who they are. And he says to him, whom belongest thou? I want you to notice several things as we begin to look at this passage of Scripture and think about that thought, that question this morning. Notice first of all about this man, his dilemma. Notice his dilemma. Look with me at verse number 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt. Now watch this. Servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. He says, I'm a young man of Egypt. Now, it's important to understand, as most of you, I'm certain, do, that Egypt's a type of picture of sin. Therefore, an Egyptian's a type and a picture of a sinner. In your Bible, when you read and you study and look, you'll always find out that Egypt's tied to sin and idolatry and wickedness and all that. And God led them up out of that mess eventually. The Egyptian's a type of a sinner. But not only is he an Egyptian, notice it says, but he's a servant, watch it, to an Amalekite. To an Amalekite. These were the stark enemies of Israel. You understand that? They were the long-standing enemies of the people of God. And Amalekite's a picture of Satan. You study it out, you'll find out that's what they are. This man's a servant, in other words. This man they find in a field. He's a servant to the enemies of God. And in fact, he's a servant to the enemies of God's people. And by the way, can I just say this? All sinners are. Oh yes, all sinners, listen, before you came to God and before I came to God, the Bible said there was enmity between man and God. God had something against us. You know what it was? It was our sin. The Bible tells us God's of purer eyes than to behold evil. He can't look upon sin. And our sin, in Isaiah tells us, he says, your sin has separated you from your God and your iniquities have hid his face far from thee. God loves you. But he can't look upon you because you're a sinner. There was enmity, but aren't you glad this morning that that sin can be forgiven? And our sin, listen, we're made nigh, the Bible says, by the blood of Christ. It's put under the blood. The Amalekites were the longest enemy of Israel, God's people, and even God himself. In fact, they're called the first of the nations. The Amalekites, they're called the first of the nations. Their history, it goes all the way back to Abraham's day. The history of being against Israel all the way back to that time. And you'll remember God told Saul to kill all of them. He told him to kill all their oxen, to kill all their asses, to take all their sins. Kill every one of them. And of course, Saul was disobedient and didn't listen to the Lord. But the Amalekites had been lifelong enemies of God. And that's who this man belonged to. The enemies of God. That's who his master was. And the Bible says, watch it, that his master had left him for dead. In fact, the Bible says as soon as he fell sick, while serving his master and had nothing to offer him anymore, look at verse 13 again. He says, I'm a man, young man in Egypt, of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. Once this man had nothing else to offer his master, he wasn't important anymore. Once this man had nothing else to offer his master, he didn't have any use for him anymore, and he left him for dead. I want you to pay close attention to this story this morning because I want you to understand this is exactly what Satan, the master of this world, wants to do to you and will do to you. Oh yes, listen, he'll chew you up and spit you out and leave you for dead after he's ruined your health and after he's drained your wealth and after he's used you and abused you and you're no help to him anymore. Listen, he'll chew you up and spit you out and leave you for dead. There are no missionaries in his work. There's no places to go to. You don't see any rescue mission started by his people. Amen. You don't see any refuges started by his people. There's no Toys for Tots for his crowd. Oh no, when you get down on your luck, he leaves you for dead. So this man was serving, a master of the enemy of God. You hear me this morning, young people and old people alike, after your liver's been shot by the booze, after your kidneys are gone because of the drugs, after you've lost your teeth or lost your beauty by the devices of the devil, when you've got so many track marks up your arm that you look like a spotted zebra, I want you to understand, after you've lost your purity and he's taken your self-respect and anything else that meant anything to you, after you end up with some kind of sexually transmitted disease because of messing around and playing his games, the one you've been serving won't help you. The one that you've been serving won't be able to give you any hope. Oh no, he'll leave you for dead. Who do you think this morning that all these folks that are killing Christians, and by the way, there's stuff going on. We might hear it, but we don't even think about it. Some of these countries, there's attack on Christians like never before. But what do you think? Who do you think is convincing these suicide bombers to kill themselves? It's Satan, their master. They're serving a master who cares nothing about them. You know something that the Muslim crowd and many other crowds struggle with about us is that we have a God that loves us. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Yeah, no, he don't care anything about them. They have no worth to him. He cares nothing about his goal is to destroy all of mankind that he can, because he knows that God loves them, and he knows God loves you and I, and so much that he went to the cross of Calvary. He wants to hurt us because he wants to hurt God. He wants to hurt us because we're made in the image of God, and he dangles his bright apples full of poison in front of us in the form of drugs and booze and immorality and homosexuality and all kinds of other ungodliness. And when he's finally ruined your body, and when he's finally ruined your family, and when he's finally ruined your testimony, and when he's come to the place and he's finally ruined your life, he leaves you for dead. Oh, you better listen this morning, sir. You're listening to him about that woman you work with. And he's convinced you that she's the one you want. And he's convinced you that she's the one that'll solve all your problems. And she's the one that'll be the maid or the mistress that you need. And after he's destroyed your family, after he's destroyed your home, after he's destroyed your testimony, he's going to leave you for dead. Young lady, the reason your mama don't want you to talk to that guy, young man, the reason your daddy don't want you to go with that girl is because he knows what you don't know. She knows what you don't know. It's just an attempt from Satan to ruin your life. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what the Bible says. Companion of fools will be destroyed. Kids say, well, they never want me to have any fun. All these rules, listen, those rules are for boundaries. Those rules are for protection to keep sin and Satan from destroying your life. We see his dilemma. He's out wandering in the field. He's weak. He's sick. He'd been left for dead. Notice the second thing. Notice his deliverance. Look at verse number 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field, brought him to David. Watch this. And gave him bread. Brought him to David. Watch this. And gave him bread. And he did eat. Gave him water and he did drink. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisin. When he had eaten, watch this, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. His spirit came again to him. You see, a new master's in town. His name's David. Picture and a type of the Lord Jesus, we know that. A new master's in town. And aren't you glad for the day that a new master passed by your way? How when he passed by your way while you had been serving the God of this world, and you had been starving to death spiritually, and you had been thirsting to death spiritually, and he brought bread with him, and he brought, anybody getting this? And he brought water with him, and he brought sustenance with him, and he brought something with him that you'd never tasted before, and he helped you, and he picked you up out of that horrible pit, set your feet on a rock, established you going. He delivered you from that mess and the muck and the mire and the pit that had you so trodden down. Oh yes, his deliverance. Give us the bread and the water, and that old dead spirit that you had had, and I'd had ever since birth. You know, we're born, the Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. When you were born spiritually dead. So was I, physically born. That means we had a spirit, but it was dead. It died. The Bible says, a soul that sinneth, it shall die. In the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, it didn't die that day. Oh, yeah, he did, spiritually. All of mankind did. And when you were born and I was born physically, we were born spiritually dead, stillborns. God had to quicken our spirit. It's a beautiful picture right here. He gave them the bread and gave them the water. When you and I got saved, that old dead spirit was revived in us. We were alive again. We had reason to live again. And we had life again. Oh, thank God for the day when I found myself depraved like this man. Found myself lost like this man. Had no hope like this man. I was sick with sin like this man, just wandering through this old world and the field of this world. But praise God, the master passed by and he delivered me from that old way and he showed me a new way. He delivered me from death and he gave me new life. He delivered me from sin and he gave me salvation. Thank God for the day he delivered me from my depravity and he gave me royalty. Aren't you glad you've been delivered by a new master? Delivered us from our lost condition. Hallelujah. He gave us a new position. seated with him in heavenly places. His deliverance. Do you remember the day you passed from death to life? And that spirit was revived in you. And the Spirit of God swelled up inside of you. We see his dilemma. We see his deliverance. Notice the third thing. Notice his desire. Man, I like this. Look at me at verse number 15. And David said to him, he's talking to this man. He says, "Canst thou bring me down to this company?" In other words, David asked him, he says, "Can you bring me to these Amalekites?" These people, your old master. Because they're the ones who took our stuff. They're the ones who got our wives and our children. So he asked this Egyptian after he gave him the bread and gave him the water, delivered him, "Can you bring us down to them?" Notice this man's desire. He asked him, he said, "To whom belongest thou?" Look at verse number 15. And David said to him, "Can thou not bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt not neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I'll bring thee down to this company." Other words, David asked him, he says, "To whom belongest thou? Who's your master?" He said, "Will you bring me down to him?" The Egyptian said, "This Amalekite, this enemy of God, is my master." He says, "That's who he is." He told him in verse 13, he says, "He's an Amalekite. He's him, enemy of God. That's who my master is. But I don't want him to be." David says to him, he says, "Swear to me." Or excuse me, he says to David, "Swear to me that you won't take me back to him." You see this man's desire? I want to tell you something. I never want to go back to him. Amen. He says, "Swear that you'll never make me go back." I don't have any desire to go back under his bondage. I don't have any desire to go back and be his servant. Oh, I hated being his servant. There's no love with him. There's no compassion with him. There's no friendship with him. There's no fellowship with him. There's no joy with him. There's no justification with him. There's no communion with him. There's no comfort with him. After all those years of serving him, you know what it did? It left me for dead. There's no peace in that. He said, "Swear to me you won't make me go back." Boy, had a desire to serve a new master. All those years I served him, he never done anything for me. But here I've just met you. Think about this man sitting there in that field. Boy's about to die. He'd been left for dead. His master had threw him away like a piece of garbage who he had served all that time. He says, "Swear to me you'll never make me go back." Praise the Lord. He said, "All those years I've served him, boy, never done anything for me. But here I've just met you, and you've already gave me bread when I was hungry. And you've already gave me water when I was thirsty. My soul's been revived. My spirit's been renewed. I can already tell that you love me. I can already tell you're a friend to me. I can already tell that you're going to be and have been so good to me. I never want to go back to him. And if he never did anything else for me but give us the bread of life and give him the bread and give him the water, you've already done more for me than he ever did. I never want to go back." Can I say to you? If the only thing God ever did for you is save you, what in the world we ever want to go back to him for? If the only thing he did was bring you out of that pit, if all he ever did was save your soul, if all he ever did was lift you up out of that bondage and up out of that mess, if all he ever did was get rid of your sin-sick soul and sin-sick life, and that's all he did, why would we ever want to go back to him? He says, "I don't ever want to go back to him. Promise me, swear to me, you'll never make me go back. You've already done so much more." Aren't you glad he never sends us back? He says, "You're in my hands, and I'm in the Father's hands. No man's able to pluck me out of my Father's hands." Once you become a servant of God, he'll never send you back to Satan. He shed his blood for you so you could be freed. This man's desire, he said, "I'm a servant of an Amalekite, but I don't want to be." Do you realize this morning that there's a lot of people serving Satan, but they don't want to? They just don't know any other way. The tragedy is this morning, you and I can show them a new way. So oftentimes we don't. There are so many people in this world that are serving Satan. Many of them don't even know they are. They think they're doing what they want to do. I talked to a man some time ago, and he said, "Preach, I'll just be honest." He said, "Before I got saved," he said, "man, I thought I was having the time. I thought I was having the time of my life." He said, "Man, everything was good and everything was rosy." He said, "I thought I was having fun, and it took God taking those blinders off of me to show me that my life was a mess." So many people serving Satan, they don't want to. They don't know any other way. We see his dilemma, we see his deliverance, see his desire, notice his devotion. Look at verse 15 again. David said to him, "Canst thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I'll," watch this, "and I will bring thee down to this company." In verse 16 he says, "And when he had brought him down, behold," he had a new master now. He was serving a new master now. He says, "Will you bring me down?" When you have a new master, you no longer fight for your old master. But when you have a new master, you fight for your new master. Amen? Y'all getting this? He says, "Look, will you bring me down so I can find your old master? Because we got some dealings with them." And the Bible tells us he brought him down, verse 15, verse 16, "And when he had brought him down," and when you have a new master, you don't fight for your former master, you're now fighting for your new master. When you're on the Lord's side, you're no longer fight for the devil's side. Notice verse 14. He says, "We made an invasion." In other words, this man was part of the ones that went in and took the spoil of David. This man was the ones that went in and captives, took his wives captive and his children captive. This man was involved in it. He says, "We made an invasion. We burned Ziklag with fire." He had been fighting on the other side, but now he says, "I will bring thee down to this company and I'll help you fight my former master." You want to know why? Because when you come a new master servant, you no longer fight for your old master, because when you become his servant, that old master and that old way is dead and gone. Some Christians need to learn this, amen? Because there's too many Christians that's fighting on the wrong side. He says, "I'll go with you now. I'll fight with you now." No longer obey the old master and the old ways. Honey, when you join the Lord's army, you're no longer a part of Satan's army. But I'm glad you're part of a whole lot better army. You're part of the Lord's army. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. You got to pick a side. And once you pick a side, once you pick a master, serve him and only him. Be loyal to him and only him. Sadly, some of Satan's best warriors are children of God. Too many people want to serve God on one hand and hold hands with the devil with the other hand, and you can't do it. Can't serve two masters. Too many folks, they want to sing the songs of God on Sunday and then sing the world's music on Monday. Too many people, they got a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They want to gather with God's people on Sunday but talk about God's people on Monday. I'm simply saying, when we get a new master, we got to serve him and fight with him and be on his side, not the other side. I'll say, as Moses said in Exodus, "Who is on the Lord's side?" He said here, "To whom belongest thou?" If you've been saved, you belong to God. If you've been saved, you're a child of God. If you've been saved, you belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain," talking about the Lord, "and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You know what that means? Redeemed us to God, bought us. He purchased us. Whom belongest thou? He's the one that purchased you. He's the one that purchased me. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption." Redemption through his blood. Redeemed speaks of buying back or purchasing back. I was his by creation, and now I'm his again by salvation. He bought me. He purchased me. I'm his own. He bought me again. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are gods. And then 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, now we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, to whom belongest thou? Paul was saved. He realized he now belonged to Jesus. He says this, what will thou have me to do? What will thou have me to do? I want you to notice one final thing. We've seen his desire. We've seen his devotion. Notice now the enemy's defeat. Look at me at verse number 16. And when he had brought him down, they're going now down to the Amalekites and go try to get their stuff back. They were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. Was having a time because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. There escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David, watch this phrase, and David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. I just want to remind you this morning that our enemy is a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. He's as good as lost. He may try to hinder you now. He may try to take your stuff now. He may try to hurt you now. He might be laughing. Boy, they're here laughing and they're dancing and they're parading around and they're having a big time. But I like what the Bible says there in verse 17. There escaped not a man of them. The devil nor his crowd is going to get away with all the destruction they've caused. The devil nor his crowd is going to get away with all the things that he's done, all the doom and all the havoc and heartache he's wreaked upon this old world and upon you. He's not going to get away with it. I love Revelation 20:10. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It says here, there escaped not one of them. In that day, the devil is going to be defeated and destroyed, and God's people is going to win. I've read the back of the book, and we win. Amen. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. And we'll recover all that the devil's tried to take from us. Said they recovered all. It named all the things. They recovered all. We're going to recover our incorruptible bodies like we had before Satan infiltrated the world. We're going to recover the new earth and the millennial reign of Christ, like the first earth that man experienced in the Garden of Eden. We're going to recover that original fellowship that man had with God as Adam would walk with God in the cool of the day. We're going to once again, we'll be with Him, we'll live with Him, we'll fellowship with Him. We're going to recover all, friend. Question this morning that I want to ask every person in this building, to whom belongest thou? Because if you're on his side, if you're on the devil's side, you're on the losing side. And Revelation 20:10 that I just read is your fate. You're going to be cast in the lake of fire. Well, we better be on the Lord's side. Maybe somebody's here and you'd be honest enough to say, I belong to Satan, the enemy of God. I know for years and known for years that he's had his way with me, and I know I belong to him because I know I've never been saved. And preacher, I just have to be honest. I know I must belong to him because I don't belong to God, but I don't want to. Can I say this morning, you don't have to. He'll save your soul. If you'll come this morning and make Jesus your new master, you'll never have to go back to him again. You'll never have to follow him again. Maybe somebody's here and you claim to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if somebody asked you, you'd say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I've been saved. But if somebody looked at you and looked at your life, you're serving the God of this world. Most of the things you do and most of the things you want to do is things that he wants you to do instead of doing what God wants you to do. You're either serving sin and Satan or you're serving righteousness and obedience. Maybe you just need to come and make it clear this morning whose side you're on. And Lord, I'm quit serving the enemy. I'm going to start serving you. While we stand this morning, maybe somebody just wants to come and say, thank you, Jesus, for picking me up out of that pit that Satan had left me in for dead. And thank you that I never have to go back to him where there's no love and where there's it's not even worth living. Well, we have something to be thankful for this morning. Amen. I'm glad we have a master that loves us. While we sing, listen.